focus on one scale following that presentation, what we call the hill slope scale. Before I start, I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity to present, and then thank you to Molly Gribb, Jim McNamara, and Dave Chandler, who served as my graduate committee. So I came to soil moisture from a hydrology perspective, soil hydraulic properties and soil moisture from hydrology. Hydrologists get interested in soil moisture because it couples your groundwater, your surface water, and your atmospheric water. And it couples those reservoirs of water through the processes of evapotranspiration, infiltration, and runoff generation. So if as a hydrologist I'm going to accurately conceptualize and then model a watershed, I need to understand the factors that are influencing the distribution of soil moisture. And there's been a lot of work in this area, a whole lot of it. Starting in the mid-90s with a paper from Grayson et al. In 1997, we're looking at a watershed in a subhumid part of Western Australia. So what you see here are topographic lines, so low elevation, high elevation, and then the plot is of soil moisture under a fairly wet condition, with the darker area being more moist. So what you see is that soil moisture is aggregating or accumulating in areas of a convergent topography or at the watershed outlet. This was deemed non-local control, and what that means is that at any given point in the watershed, your soil moisture state is the result of the upslope contributing area and lateral redistribution. That same exact watershed, under summer conditions or dry conditions, appears to have a randomized distribution of soil moisture. And this is called local control, and that's attributed to no longer having lateral redistribution of soil moisture, but instead dominant vertical fluxes that are dependent on things like soil texture, vegetation, or immediate or local area topography. And so, taking that concept, McNamara et al. From Boise State in 2005 published a paper where they looked at the same idea of non-local versus local control, but in a semi-arid environment with very, very complex topography. What they found is that that topographic redistribution of soil moisture occurs for only very, very short periods of time, particularly right after snowmelt when the soil profile is saturated. For the rest of the year, your soil moisture distribution is subject to local control. And so with that in mind, there's been several grad students before me at Boise State that have tried to define the dominant influences on soil moisture in this semi-arid environment with very complex topography. And the way that soils have typically been addressed in those studies is through grain size distribution, through soil texture. And in some of the work that came out, Williams et al. 2010, the use of soil texture is a little bit limited in these environments. Soil texture is not necessarily the best predictor variable for soil moisture distribution. And so what we hypothesized is that instead of using soil texture, if we use soil hydraulic properties, if we actually measured the soil water retention curves, that we would be able to better predict the distribution of soil moisture. So what I want to do is I want to explain a randomized distribution or apparently random distribution of soil moisture using soil hydraulic properties. So to give you an idea of the type of terrain that we're working in, this is Dry Creek Experimental Watershed north of Boise, Idaho, typical central Idaho canyon country. So this is a top-down view of the sample transect, about 600 meters long. This point right here actually lies right up here, and so the sample transect runs down and then runs back up the other side. So very, very steep topography, gradient up to 50% in some areas. And just general background, semi-arid environment, about 500 millimeters a year. Most of it is snowfall. So for each sampling location on the transect, starting with the stuff on the left-hand side, soil cores are removed at about 10 centimeters below the ground surface. And then we use multi-step outflow testing where you saturate a soil core and progressively dry it to obtain the actual soil water retention curve. We measured soil physical characteristics, so grain size distribution, gravel, sand, silt, clay, organic carbon, bulk density, etc. And then we also quantified the topographic characteristics of every sampling location, so slope, concavity, convexity, topographic contributing area, etc. That's all the physical classification of the sample locations. Also, at each sample location, a TDR was used, a backpack-mounted TDR was used, to measure soil moisture on about 25 days. So went out, measured soil moisture in a 1 meter by 1 meter area using multiple measurements and then using the average. So we determined soil moisture across a wide range of soil moisture conditions. And the TDR was calibrated to site-specific soils. So starting with the results of the soil hydraulic properties. So again, South Aspect, plotted in red, north aspect plotted in blue. And these are the soil water retention curves, with volumetric water content on the horizontal axis and the absolute value of pressure head on the vertical axis. And you can see just visually that there's some difference between the red and the blue, that the north aspect soils tend to retain more water at a given pressure head. And if you separate those curves at any pressure head, so say 800 centimeters, I get the value of theta for all the north aspect and all the south aspect sample locations, there is a statistically significant difference. The soils are different, as you would guess just by looking at a top-down view. Now, the drivers for those differences in soil water retention, here's a typical textural triangle, and you see that we're way down in the sand corner, right? These are very, very coarse soils. So you see a bit of a differentiation with the south aspect of the red soils plotting more as sands and loamy sands. And then if you actually separate your aspects and just do a two-sample KS test, find out that the north aspect, again, less sand, more silt, more clay, more organic carbon, and lower bulk densities, all factors that would drive soil water retention or enhance soil water retention. So based on that, we would expect, when we measure soil moisture, for the north aspect to be wetter. So what you're seeing here along the bottom, this is the bottom of the transect, which is plotted in brown. That's the ground surface. The stream, and then you're moving laterally away from the stream. Here's the elevation of the ground surface. And then volumetric water content. So that represents the volumetric water content at a location on a given date. So under wet conditions, you see more variability, but you see that the north aspect has more water or more soil moisture. Moving in the dry conditions, your variability shrinks down a little bit, but you're seeing, again, a fairly consistent pattern that's just shifting up and down. Now, if I were to average all these points together, so all the points of the south aspect on a given date, I would come up with one of these. So you're seeing time as you progress through the season, average volumetric water content in either the south aspect or the north aspect, and then daily precipitation coming in from the top. So you see that the north aspect and the south aspect slopes are tracking together. The north aspect is always wetter, which is what we expect from the soil hydraulic properties, and that they're moving in response to precipitation inputs. If you compare the north aspect and the south aspect for every day in which both aspects were sampled, there is a statistically significant difference. The north aspect is wetter. So that's kind of a gross comparison between the two aspects. What I'll move into is kind of a point comparison. And so what I wanted to do was to quantify the relative retention capabilities of all these different sampling locations. And the way I did that was just to take the volumetric water content at 1,000 centimeters. And the reason this works is from about 200 centimeters up, you have a fairly consistent rank structure in the soil water retention curves of your different sampling locations. So this point, or this line, is pretty much always third. So if you rank your soils and then you compare them to the soil moisture distribution on a given day, so here's just a scattergram of that, you see somewhat of a linear relationship, meaning that the soil that should retain the most water indeed does have the most water in the field. If I want to quantify that relationship, use the non-parametric Spearman correlation coefficient, then you perform that for every sampling date where you have soil moisture and plot them versus time. So for this particular day, the Spearman value is about a 0.75. And so what you see is the value of the Spearman correlation coefficient versus time, and then this is just a plot of average soil moisture conditions through time. And you see that correlation between the retention capability of the soil and the observed soil moisture trends is fairly strong, and it's consistent across a wide range of soil moisture conditions. And I use 1,000 centimeters for this presentation. If you do that at 200 centimeters or 400 centimeters or 600, you see the same results. And the important thing is when you go and you do the same calculation but using percent sand, percent silt, percent clay, you don't see as nearly of a consistent relationship. The relationship breaks down under different soil moisture states. So what we can conclude from this is that soil moisture along this transect is really being driven by soil hydraulic properties, and that the soil hydraulic properties in these semi-arid environments, particularly around Boise, where we did this study, are really driven by aspect. Aspect is a major driver in this system. That's all I have.
questions for Ivan.
How would you explain that aspect drives the hydraulic pump?
So there's a couple, there's people working on this right now. There's an idea that the dominant wind patterns have created an aeolian deposit that's preferentially deposited on the north aspect. And then there is also some feedback, obviously, between vegetative growth and soil hydraulic property development. And so that's a chicken or egg question about which came first. Are the properties that way because there's vegetation, or is the vegetation that way because there's properties? But there's ongoing work on that, I guess. We just proved it was there.
So going back to the vegetation, hydraulic property, chicken egg question, how much more water is provided to the north slope versus the south slope in a given year by the soil?
How do you mean how much more water is provided?
Well, I think that was the idea, right? One that holds more water is going to drive it
to right.
Vegetation.
Right. The,
what's the difference? Is it a millimeter of water or 2 centimeters of water?
I can't give you a quantification. There's actually a grad student that was working a lot using MVDI analysis and trying to predict vegetation, how much more water is available. But I don't want to give you an off-the-head answer that's not right.
Question,
So the radiation is the same on both slopes?
No, this is a really good. So I did a solar radiation analysis with a DEM and then tried to correlate solar radiation to soil moisture distribution patterns, and it only correlated on about 4 out of 25 days. And so using that same concept of a point scale correlation, solar radiation does not correlate well to soil moisture. And so in that environment, that led me to conclude that that there's so much demand in that semi-arid environment that the soil is being driven to dry no matter what slope you're on, and just how much it can hold on to is driven by soil hydraulic properties.
So if the topography is easy to measure, why you decided to go for soil hydraulic properties is much more complex?
So the reason I decided to go for soil hydraulic properties is that based on previous work looking at modified topographic indices, trying to predict soil moisture in that environment, topographic indices really don't work even in wet. And we're talking about a very small scale with really complex dynamics, but the topographic indices that have typically been used, or some that were developed specific to this location, don't perform very well. And so we decided to go the next step and really hone in on soils and do soils, I guess, as good as we could. And I think we achieved, we did the soils as well as we could do them. We assessed their influence as well as we could.
So one question in the back.
Yeah, I wonder, did you measure bulk density of the organic carbon in both sites? Because your water shifted, the blue one, is consistently shifted to the right, which implies that bulk density was higher than the one. So when you use heat transfer function to estimate water retention, salt texture, other properties, normally you account for organic